This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 16, 2014, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. It's good for us every now and then to get back to fundamentals, as I say frequently, particularly in words that we use a lot, concepts that we speak of continuously, like faith and charity and justification. There's probably not a word that's used probably more often than blessing. We're continually asking, Lord, bless this, bless that, be blessed, all manner of things. But if you think about it, where does our mind normally go when we think about blessing? We're human beings, so our mind usually goes to stuff, right? Which are blessings. The readings today. There's no accident in the way the liturgy is formulated and the way it's laid out schematically. We have in the readings today, you have that first reading that talks about a good wife and the domestic blessings, and you get into the last reading, the gospel, with about talents, the material things that we have. So these are all blessings of the Lord. But yet we all appreciate that aspect of everything, the stuff, so to speak. I don't want to be pejorative about temporal blessings. And temporal blessings are not wrong. Let's just start out with that whole thing. What we have in this world, the things that the Lord gives us, He gives us because He wants us to use them in accord with His will. You can hear this occasionally, but it almost sounds like having stuff is bad, having material possession, materialism and all this kind of. Do we not in the petition, in the prayer that our Savior gave us, say, give us this day our daily bread, right? Now, you're not, don't be myopic about it, you're just not about the things to eat. We're asking for God to bless us with temporal blessings. We should never ask for more than we need. We should ask for just what we need. We should pray that we don't ever get less than what we need. Need for what? This is sort of the crux of the matter with us. We think we need a whole lot more than we do, particularly in our society. We kind of got off on this in adult forum this morning. We talk about the fruit of the labor of our hands that the Lord speaks of in the psalm. And that's where those words came from the psalm reading this morning. Blessed ever is everyone who fears the Lord. Okay, there's a little bookends on that. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord before your blessings, fear of the Lord after your blessings, or what you should do with everything that we have, whether it be temporal or spiritual, should be understood to be coming from God, and we should act accordingly with it. The fruit of the labor of our hands, okay? That's your paycheck, all right? Let's make it a little practical. You know, in the days in which this was written, the fruit of the labor of your hands could have been sheep, goats, cows, or truly fruit, plants. Think about it. There are very few agrarians in the Central Florida area, or the Metro Orlando area, I should say. The fruit of the labor of our hands is generally our paycheck. Okay, what do you do with that? We always give God, always get a kick out of this. We give God thanks for the meals that we have, or we should. We should say grateful for every meal. Do we ever say grace when you get your paycheck, whether it's your retirement check or your paycheck? Let's say grace. That'll probably go over real well in your place of business, your direct deposit now. But when it's in there, do you give thanks for it? We ought to. I mean, that's what buys the food that we give thanks for. Okay, that is the fruit of our labor. It talks about children. You know, children are, whether you have natural children or not, really doesn't make any difference. Again, just like daily bread myopically should not be taken as just food. When we talk about children, that can manifest itself in many different ways in our lives. Okay? There are many men who stand in many pulpits across the Catholic world who are never married But guess what? Millions of people call them what? Father. I hope they mean it. I mean, because that's spiritual children. And that just doesn't apply if you're a priest. It doesn't apply if you're a priest. It is God's mandate. It is your mission to go out and make disciples. They are your spiritual children. So if you've never had a child in this world, in a natural sense, you still have spiritual children. Well, I never witnessed it. Well, then that's a different subject for a different day, and it is a serious problem, because again, that is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to have our daily bread so we can go out and share Christ's love with others and bring them into the church or bring them back to the church, whatever the case may be. Those are spiritual children. But again, never lose sight of this caveat that the fear of the Lord and walking in His ways is how we return thanks for the blessings. If you read the Psalm, particularly in the Psalms, there's a whole lot of it. We bless you, Lord. How can I bless God? How do we bless God? Everything we have is His, right? But we still do bless Him for these things. And it's just not a matter of saying thank you. It's acting accordingly with the blessings that He has provided for you, whether it be tangible or spiritual. When you come in here, how do you bless the Lord when you come in here? Kind of on the heels of what I talked about last week about being in church and what churches should be. When you come into the church, you should act like you're in the presence of Almighty God. You should act like what you believe as a Catholic, that the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is right in front of your face. You act accordingly in the most mundane situations in our social lives. How much more accordingly should you act out of respect when you come into God's house, if what you believe is truly what you believe? You hear a lot of people, well, most Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Well, guess what? They're not Catholics, because you have to believe that to be a Catholic. That's a given. You have to believe it, so act accordingly. That's how you bless God. You bless God with your tangible things. If you are blessed to overabundance, which the vast majority of us are in North America, you can't even enter into the conversation unless you've been to some places like South America, Africa, some places in the Middle East. The Middle East is a real contrast. You have the richest places in the world and the most poor people in the world. But you get to see real poverty there. You truly get to see people who, we in North America, we have this idea of poverty that just means you make less than other people. I'm talking about really poor. I'm talking about not having anywhere to live. Yeah, I don't want to go there so much, is to just understand that there is a true poverty that we don't understand in North America. We are blessed beyond comprehension in the eyes of most people in this world. What do you do? How do you bless God? By what you have tangibly? You share. All right? Some people can share more than others. The Lord does bless very holy people with a lot of material possessions. And if they fear God and they walk in His ways, they will share those material possessions. And they keep getting more. Because these blessings can be a detriment. If you don't act accordingly, blessings can be a detriment. Tangible things drag so many people away from Christ. Haven't seen you in Mass in a couple months. Well, I've been working weekends. And that's never followed by, I've been working weekends so I can make more money to give to the poor, to give to Catholic charities. You know, to share with my other family members who don't get, no, it's for the new boat, it's for this, and I'm not saying things like that are bad in and of themselves, but you have to prioritize. You really have to prioritize with the things that you have. And that applies to spiritual blessings also. Children can be a detriment to your spirituality. How could that be possible? I'll tell you what, if little Johnny and little Mary are involved in things that keep you away from Mass, there's a couple really ugly things going on right there. One, you are communicating to them that there is something that is more important than the worship of God, who has provided everything, and it keeps you from worshiping and blessing the one who has given you these children and the things that make things available to you. Physical health can be a detriment. I know a whole lot of people that are really, really into working out. I mean, I like to go to the gym. I like to ride bikes and all that other good stuff. But I know some people who are consumed. They don't go to church because guess what? All the races are on Sunday. So even good health can be a detriment to your spirituality. I've never thought of things like that before. Well, start. Prioritize. Again, all these things that I've mentioned are not bad. It's what we do with them that can make them bad. Because we are blessed by God. Everything we have, health, children, tangible stuff, it all comes from Him, and we ought to act that way. We ought to act that way about it. Because He does bless us beyond, we can't fathom how He blesses us in a spiritual way. The Bible tells us from cover to cover that God puts His hand on us by formulaic blessings. Actually, this psalm ends with one. Starts talking about a formula for blessing. And it just doesn't start in the Psalter. It starts in the first five books of Moses. After Moses takes the people out of Egypt, he establishes his priesthood and everything. What he tells Moses face to face is, tell the priest to bless the people in this way. And he gives them a specific formula. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace, both now and evermore. That's the formula that he tells his priests to put on the people. And he goes on to say, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. It is just not a churchy little prayer that these priests are saying over people. And that goes on into the New Testament. And it doesn't matter what formula it might be at the end of Mass, the blessing that you receive at the end of Mass is an objective blessing. It is something that you deprive yourself of if you leave Mass early. Now, I love, it's like when I talk about dressing in church, I always say, I don't have to worry about this. It's another thing I don't have to worry about. People don't have a tendency, and they're a visitor if they get up and leave after the Eucharist. But I hear horror stories from priests, and I hear them more so from lay people who tell, I went to such and people, a bunch of people get up and they leave. They are depriving themselves of God placing His name on them. They're depriving themselves of something because it's objective. God Himself says, I will bless them. Why would you not stay around for that? For one thing, it's just first and foremost bad manners. To use a human analogy, could you imagine going to dinner at a loved one's house? The analogy of the supper, okay? You go to dinner to a loved one's house, could you imagine wharfing down your food and getting up from the table and heading toward the door? And they got up and they wanted to hug you before you, and you just left. I mean, that's inconceivable. That's a stupid analogy. Nobody would ever do that. They do it every single week to God. He wants to give them that hug of a last blessing, and they leave. That's how horrible that is. And if people understand their faith, and those are the ones who complain about it all the time, you are truly depriving yourself. You're not depriving yourself of a nice little prayer that the priest says. You are depriving yourself of God placing His name upon you when you leave. It is His hug, so to speak. That is the end of Mass, not at the Eucharist. So, again, I'm preaching to the choir. Tell your friends. All right? It's an objective blessing by God. We even put a little icing on the cake with that one, and we use the traditional last gospel. What's up with that last gospel thing? Some people don't get that when they first start visiting here. What's up with that last gospel reading? If you'll notice, it comes after we say the Mass has ended, depart in peace. So it actually comes from medieval times, so in the grand scheme of things, it's relatively recent. In medieval times, people used to like to have the priest bless them. And the blessing was a reading of a part of the gospel. And one of the favorites was the beginning of John's Gospel, because it speaks of the Incarnation. It speaks of what you just received in Mass, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So it's another blessing. The Pope said, hey, guess what? Everybody seems to like this. It takes a lot of time for the priest to read a whole lot of Gospel passages over people that may want an extra blessing. So guess what? After Mass is over, if they want to bless another blessing, first Gospel of John. Hence, the last gospel. That's why we have it. It's the icing on the cake. It's another blessing. You can't be blessed enough. You know, for most of us, again, we approach it by saying how much things we have, and that's all well and good, if you're using them appropriately. But also think of the blessings of family, the spiritual blessings that you receive every time you come into the house of God. I can't really fathom why people, Sunday's sufficient. I want to be blessed as much as I possibly can. As much as I possibly can. Because St. Robert Bellarmine, and he's actually commenting on this particular psalm, which is 128 for those of you who take notes, he says that this whole psalm speaks about our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to fear God, to walk in His ways, and to be blessed by Him because of that, and use those blessings accordingly. And I'll leave you with a quote from St. Robert Bellarmine. He says, our purpose is to love God and to work out our salvation. If you achieve your purpose, you will be blessed. If you fail in your purpose, you will be accounted as nothing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.